Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And last Sunday, after I was finished preaching, Lisa asked me to preach on heaven. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach on heaven today. Ask and you shall receive. Heaven. Heaven is a beautiful word, isn't it? Think about it. Heaven. That word conjures up so many thoughts and so many pictures in our minds when we think about this wonderful abode of God, our future home, heaven. Now, the Hebrew word for heaven is the word shemayim. It's a plural term, but it's translated as a singular. For example, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, that word is plural, but it's translated there as a singular, but that is the Hebrew word for heaven, and it would refer to the abode of God as well as the heavens as we know them. And then the Greek word for heaven is ouranos. Ouranos, that's the Greek word for heaven. Now, the Bible speaks of three heavens, because Paul talks about a third heaven. He was caught up to the third heaven. So the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven. This is where the birds fly. This is where the clouds form. And then the second heaven is the stellar heaven. This is where the sun and the moon and the stars reside. This is outer space. And then the abode of God. It's referred to as the third heaven. If you would, go ahead and turn for just a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, beginning in verse 2, he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And notice verse 3. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And so Paul was caught up to this third heaven. He actually went to heaven. What an amazing, amazing experience Paul had. You know, Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner, our Father, which art in heaven. And so the third heaven is the abode of God. It's where God dwells. It's where God lives. And notice that when Paul says he was caught up into heaven and he was not able to tell about his experience, and yet almost daily we have people who say they died, or maybe they did die, and they say they went to heaven and they saw these wonderful things, and they come back and they write books and they tell us about it. But yet Paul was forbidden to say anything about his experience, and yet these people are writing books about their experiences. And I would just say that many of these people, I think, just had a dream, and that's all that it was. I don't believe they ever were swept up into heaven, and some of them, I think, they're just being deceitful. I really do. For example, Kat Kerr. She's a woman who's been going to heaven for over 20 years. So, I mean, she's just constantly going to heaven. And when she tells about it, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, some of the things she says. You know, the walls of your mansions, and I don't really think there are mansions, but there are dwelling places. There's a home for us. That word is translated heaven, but I don't think that's the meaning of that particular word. But anyway, she says the walls sing to you, the trees uproot themselves and come to your house and they hug you. There is Christmas land, St. Nicholas, and he likes to be called Nick. I mean, silly stuff. That's not heaven. That's not what we see in the Word of God. Here we have Revelation, and this is what I trust in. But there are people like, you know, Don Piper and Jesse Duplantis and He comforts Jesus because Jesus is up there weeping, and he comes along and he just comforts Jesus and makes Jesus feel better. Wow, Jesse's a great individual. It's ridiculous when you read these books or hear the stories of these people. I think they just want attention. It helps sell books. But nonetheless, let's look at what the Bible says about heaven. Let's forget about what people dreaming say and what people write about in their books. What does God tell us? So I want us to look at some descriptions of heaven. Heaven is certainly a beautiful place. But first of all, it is called a country. It's called a country that we long to go to. Hebrews 11 and verse 16. It's called a city, according to Hebrews 13, 14. And we saw in John 14, Jesus calls it the Father's house. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. So heaven is compared to a country, it's compared to a city, it's compared to, it's called the Father's house. But also, number two here today, God sits on the throne in heaven and he rules the universe. Now, in Revelation chapter 4, what's beautiful about this book, we know that God's people are being viciously persecuted. They're being murdered. You had Nero murdering. You had Domitian murdering. Life was hard if you were a Christian in the first century. And John had been banned to Patmos because of his preaching and the Word of God. And the first vision he gets is a vision of Jesus. What a beautiful vision. And I believe John needed that, and it brought great comfort. But also, when you get to chapter 4, this is what John sees. And after these things, I saw and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was the voice of a trumpet with me saying, come up here and I will show you things which must shortly take place. Notice, immediately I was in the spirit and behold a throne set in heaven. And notice, and one sat on the throne. What a great vision for John to catch, because John needed to know that the world is not out of control. That Rome is not ruling the world. God is ruling the world. And that's what God wants to show John, and that's why John receives this beautiful vision of God seated on a throne ruling the universe. Don't ever think the world is out of control. There's nothing happening here that God does not allow. God is on the throne and God is ruling, and we need to take great comfort in that. In Acts chapter 7, verse 49, Stephen in his sermon says that heaven is God's throne. And so God is seated on a throne in heaven, ruling over the universe. It's just a beautiful picture. God is in control. That's the point we need to take from this. But then number three, heaven is a place of no more. It's a place of no more. Turn to Revelation 21. Look at verse 4. Revelation 21, 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. John says in this vision of Revelation, or God says to us, there's no more sorrow, there's no more crying, there's no more death. None of that. That's all been done away with. You see, the only thing we know in this world is sorrow. What we know in this world is death. What we know in this world is pain. And it makes life here pretty difficult, right? Because we're used to crying. We're used to mourning. We're used to being separated from our loved ones through death. And that's hard. But there's coming a day when there'll be no more. You'll never shed another tear. You'll never be at a funeral and be separated from another loved one. You'll never know pain of any kind. You won't fall down, skin your knee, hurt yourself. You won't break a leg, break a hip, have to have surgery. None of that will exist any longer. In Revelation 22 and verse 3, he says there's going to be no more night. And that's because God and the Lamb are going to be the light of the city. And it's going to be illuminated through the light of God Almighty. There's no more night. And then in 22 verse 3, there's no more curse. There's no more curse. You see, when God created man in the beginning, man rebelled against God. He sinned. And as a result, God cursed man. God cursed the woman. God cursed the serpent. God cursed the earth. And we've been living under a curse. And so we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, because He loved us, He sent His Son Jesus. He went to the cross, paid the debt of our sin so that we could be reconciled to God. But we have a relationship with God, but not the kind of relationship we're going to have. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. But to think, no more pain, no more death, no more crying, no more curse, no more night. David Phelps sings a song titled, No More Night. If you've never heard this song, you need to look it up. Because you haven't lived until you've heard this song. It's amazing the way he sings this song. I want to read the words to this song. No more night. The timeless theme, earth and heaven, will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, now the nations bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, and there's no need, no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, no more crying again. And the praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, there's a mansion, oh, that's prepared just for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. And there will be no more night, no more pain, no more tears, no more crying again. And the praises to the great I am, we will live in the light of the risen Lamb. And praises to the great I am. We're going to live in the light of the risen Lamb. The words of that song are so beautiful. And they're true. They are absolutely true. Heaven is the place of no more. And listen, if this is all that heaven was, it would be a beautiful place, right? No death, no crying, no sorrow, no pain. Wouldn't that be a great world? That's the way it was in the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, that's the way the world was. But then sin entered the world and messed up everything. And we've been living under a curse ever since. But there's coming a day when there'll be no more curse. And no more night. What a beautiful place heaven will be. And then next, heaven is a place of unparalleled beauty. There's simply nothing like it. In Revelation chapter 21, look at verses 1 and 2. He says, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, notice the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. John likens our new home, the new Jerusalem, to a bride who is prepared for her husband. If there's ever a time in a woman's life when she is stunning, when she is beautiful, it's the day of her wedding. Because that's when she dolls herself up, right? That's when she gives her all. She wants to look her best for her husband. And that's the picture that John gives us. So beautiful is the sight. It's stunning, like a bride dressed for her husband. And then he goes on in Revelation chapter 21, and he describes this city. He talks about streets of gold and gates of pearl. There's all kinds of precious stones that adorn this city. It is truly an amazing, beautiful city. It is stunning to behold. Now, I personally don't believe that there is real gold streets or real pearls or real precious stones. But how is John going to communicate what he sees? Because he's seeing a place that no one has ever seen. How do you describe a place you've never seen? And so John uses imagery that we're aware of and familiar with. And he says, it's like this. It's like this. And those are the things that we yearn for. We love gold. We love pearls. We love precious stones. We're attracted to those things. And John is saying heaven is going to be stunning. You imagine a place if you have similar, like stones or whatever, and you have the glory of God lighting up that city. How brilliant that light must be. How awesome must the New Jerusalem shine with the glory of God. Heaven is a place of unparalleled beauty. There's nothing like it. We've never seen anything like it. And I believe that we will be floored when we see our new home. But also, John says that it is a place of full intimacy with God. And this, I think, is important. Going back to Revelation 21, notice that he says in verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea." What does sea do? Sea separates. Sea separates peoples, and we've been separated from God. But we're not going to be separated from God anymore. We're going to have this intimacy with God that we've never known in this world. Do we have a relationship with God? Yes, through Christ. Yes, we have a beautiful relationship with God, but we've never known full intimacy. It's impossible for a man to see God and live. He just simply cannot do it because God is too glorious. And by the way, seeing God is not something you ever finish. You're always, always just, you never lose the wonder of seeing God because He's so awesome, He's so beautiful, so stunning that when you look at Him, the next time you look at Him, you're just as stunned as the first time you looked at Him. So you never, ever lose the wonder of seeing God. We will know God in the most intimate way in that we will be in His presence and we will live with Him forever. He's our Father now, and through Christ we have a relationship, but we don't see Him. We can't touch Him, but we will when we go to the other side, because heaven is a place of full intimacy with the Father. And that's what the book of Revelation truly communicates. But also, heaven's occupants are all righteous. They're all righteous. Notice chapter 21, verse 27 says, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles, or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." And in chapter 22, in verse 15, he says, "But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." Heaven is going to be exempt of all sinful people. It's a place where only righteous people are. Listen, if we lived in a world where people were all righteous, it would be like heaven on earth. Because most of the pain, most of the sorrow, most of the heartache we experience is due to people. People kill people. People rob people. People sexually abuse people. People lie to people. People hurt people. And it's constant. Man is wicked. That's the bottom line. And we're going to live in a place where we're not going to have any of that. There are not going to be any unrighteous people, and therefore we're never going to know the pain and the heartache that comes through sinful human beings like we know pain and hurt and hardship in this world. What a place heaven is going to be. There'll never be another sin. There'll never ever be a lie told. There'll never ever be a murder. There'll never be a rape. There'll never be a child molested. None of that will ever happen again. Because heaven is a place of the righteous. There's no crime in heaven. And crime is what makes this world like hell. But then, heaven is a place of perfect contentment. Perfect contentment. Look in chapter 7. In chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, in verse 7:15. He says, therefore they are before the throne of God. And again, another verse that says we're going to have this intimacy with the Father. And serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Heaven is going to be a place of perfect contentment. We've never known that. Now, we have moments of contentment. We buy a new home. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. We're content. But then after a little while, we're no longer content. The home doesn't do it. So we go buy a new car, and oh, we're content. We like this new car. But then after a little while, it's not enough. We want something more. We never seem to be content. We always want more. But the thing about heaven is every need that you ever have will always be met sufficiently so that you will never, ever, ever know a need. You'll never be hungry. You'll never be thirsty. You'll never need anything because everything you need, God and the Lamb will provide for you. That's going to be an awesome place when you think about it. Because so many people in this world are discontent. They never seem to find contentment, and you never will. But we'll find it in heaven. Heaven is a place of perfect contentment. Next, heaven is a place where we will serve God just like we do here in the world. Notice the verse I just read, 7:15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and they serve Him. You see that? And they serve Him day and night in His temple. And so we are going to serve God. In chapter 22, verse 3 says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants will serve Him. Listen. Heaven is not going to be a place where we are sitting on clouds playing harps. Artists paint stuff like that, but that's not what heaven is about. We have divine revelation, and in the Word of God, we're told that in heaven, we're going to serve God. Now, what are we going to be doing? Well, I can't answer that. I don't know exactly how we will serve Him, but I know that we will serve God in heaven. There will be things for us to do, and who knows exactly what God will call us to do. But whatever it is, I know it's going to be awesome because it's God calling us to a particular task or work. And so we're not just sitting around singing forever. All right, that's not heaven. Now, will we be singing? I believe we will be singing. Will we worship? I believe we will worship. But it's not a constant worship service. It's not people sitting on clouds and playing harps. It is a place where we will serve God forever and ever. And so you need to have that picture in mind as well. And then heaven is a place of incredible and dynamic worship. Going back to Revelation chapter 4 for just a moment. In Revelation chapter 4, we see these angels who are around the throne of God, verse 8. And the four living creatures having six wings, full of eyes around them. And some of these creatures that are described in Revelation are pretty freaky when you think about it. But it's going to be awesome to see this. And it says, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, the whole earth. Notice that. He said, who is to come? All right. Who was and who is and is to come. And then in verse 10, and the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist, and they were created. And then in chapter 5, you have this worship of God and the Lamb. Beginning at verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, that's Jesus, took the scroll out of the hand of him who's seated on the throne. And the four creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us to be priests to our God, and we shall reign forever. Verse 12. And they were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. In verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever. And then in Revelation chapter 15, Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, we could go to chapter 7 as well, but we're going to skip that one. Chapter 15, verse 3, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, and all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. There's a lot of worship that takes place in heaven, and I believe that the greatest worship service that we're ever going to experience is going to be in heaven. It's going to be something to behold, when you have billions of redeemed people singing praises to God and to the Lamb, and they deserve it for their grace and their mercy and their kindness in redeeming sinful human beings. No wonder John, when he closes out the book of Revelation in chapter 22 in verse 20, says, even so come, Lord Jesus. He was ready for Jesus right then and there, because he could see that heaven is truly an amazing place. Mercy Me writes, sings a great song, which is titled, I Can Only Imagine. Song goes like this, I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. And we will. We'll know full intimacy. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when I see your face is before me. I can only imagine, yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine. When all I do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. When all I do is forever, forever worship you, I can only imagine. Yeah, that's about what we can do. We can just imagine. But we do have Revelation that does describe this place. In the book of Revelation, heaven is going to be an amazing home for all of those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so God offers an invitation to all who will come and drink of the water of life. In Revelation 22, verse 17, this is God's invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. You can do that today. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, you know you're a sinner and you need to have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the one you need to come to. He will forgive you. And so if you need to respond to the invitation, we urge you to do that this morning. If you need Christ, come. If you need prayer, come. Whatever your need is, come.